Whilst the national and international experts gather in Mackay for the Healthy Waterways Symposium, scientists at the National Centre for Groundwater Research and Training are urging the government to implement a national groundwater strategy. The centre is a collaboration between the Australian Research Council and the National Water Commission. Professor Craig Simmons is the director and explained to me earlier their role covers managing and policy development along with the training of the next generation of scientists and managers.
We're actually training a whole range of students from honours through to something on the order of 60 PhD students and about 40 or so postdoctoral fellows. So it's a pretty significant undertaking.
At this stage, how far have we developed the National Groundwater Strategy?
It's early days. I think that where we're at right now is that there is broad agreement that we need to firmly put our attention to developing a National Groundwater Strategy. It's very clear that there are connections, and it makes a lot of sense when we think about it, between sort of our attention, if you will, on water issues and the nature of whether we are in or outside of a drought cycle. So maintaining the momentum between the drought is really critical. You may have heard of the hydro-illogical cycle. It's the idea that drought leads to awareness and concern and ultimately panic. And so the panic gets the response going, but the minute there's rain, the apathy component or subsection of the hydrological cycle sets in.
The government's recently been criticised over the lack of baseline data for the Great Barrier Reef, for instance, with all the development that's going along on our coast. What do we know about the status of our groundwater?
It's variable. I think that in many respects, you know, we do need to know right up front that Australia, in many respects, is an international leader in water and in groundwater systems. I think that I'm always constantly, you know, impressed by the sort of feedback we get from our international colleagues when they travel through Australia on what we do know. But, you know, the difficulty with groundwater systems is that bores are pretty expensive to put down in terms of being able to measure and monitor groundwater systems. And so often what happens is that, you know, we don't have the density of data that we often would like to be able to inform our decision making. The answer really is that in some systems that we know a hell of a lot about our water resources, and in others the data sets are still pretty patchy and that we're still gathering data in real time.
What are the most pressing issues for our groundwater quality at the moment?
Groundwater quality is a really interesting question. We're just seeing increasing attention on that really important issue. A lot of our previous thinking has been very focused on quantity and water supply, water security, but you know, all the water in the world is not of benefit if it's polluted or not suitable for its intended use, whether it's drinking and so forth. In some respects, contamination is, you know, the introduction of chemicals or biological species or so forth that change the quality of water. Salinity in Australia has actually been one of our one of our long-term water quality issues, and it still is an issue. In the US, we've seen some, you know, mega contamination example. The stories that sit behind the popular groundwater sort of stories like Erin Brockovich and a civil action were very significant groundwater contamination stories associated with really significant legal court cases, health dramas, children, adults sick, dying and so forth. We've not really seen the same sorts of contamination situations in Australia, but we do know that there is contamination of our groundwater systems outside of just the sort of salinity issues, from leaky petrol tanks, from landfills where we dispose waste. But also the other one that's a real issue potentially is the sort of diffuse contamination from things like fertilizers and pesticides that are spread more broadly over the landscape through, you know, irrigation, farming, you know, agroforestry and so forth.
How many solutions do we have to those issues? I mean, you mentioned salinity being one, but with the technology we have now in desalination plants, surely that can be overcome.
It's a question of scale and volumes in that one there. So we do have desal technology, that's for sure, but it's the scale of areas that can be salinized or that are salinized is so large that it's unlikely that they could be treated in that way, just using sort of desal technology. So there's a sort of scale and volume and, you know, ultimate sort of price connection there. You know, rising water tables has been a key component of that, bringing salts to the surface and evaporating those. So sort of water table control is one aspect of it. In the Murray-Darling Basins, for example, seen strategies that include interception of saline groundwater moving to the river system. So salt interception schemes are and disposal in evaporative basins or saline disposal basins has been sort of a key strategy in the basin. You know, irrigation, sort of induced salinity is another component that sort of mobilizes salt in the near surface zone. So, you know, strategies around soil salinity control, irrigation efficiency and so forth are part of the myriad of options. One of the sort of basic triple bottom lines on salt management, groundwater management, is that we generally do not see a sort of single solution that's going to work. It's really being aware of the range of options that we know have been trialled and tested that have a chance of working, and putting those into practice. The sort of situation and particularity require it.
You're calling on the government to make a groundwater strategy a priority. Why do we need a national groundwater strategy?
Well, I think that groundwater systems cross states, cross territories and borders, and so we do need to look at these things holistically. They connect in with ensuring that there is transparency across states and territories, working consistently, collaboratively and so forth. And you know, so many of the issues that we're grappling with are relevant in many parts of the country. They're not generally confined to only one space or one place. If we look through the last 100 or 200 years of climate and weather data in Australia, we see that droughts are a persistent part of our weather and climate, and not a matter of if another drought's coming, it's a matter of when the next drought will hit and to what extent we're prepared. Reservoirs hitting all-time lows, national responses in many parts of the country to sort of quickly put in desal plants. We also know, and it's often not connected in the same discussion, that our population is growing, that the next drought will hit at a time where we have increased population, increased demands from industry, increased demands for environmental water flows, increased demands for food production and so forth. So I think that this is an opportunity to reflect and prospect on sort of holistic water management options and approaches.
Professor Craig Simmons, who's the director of the National Centre for Groundwater Research and Training, speaking with me there a little earlier this morning on how Australia needs a national groundwater strategy.